Our first presenter is the Vicar for the Eastern Vicariate, ordained bishop on August 24, 2004. He comes here today to make our first address. You should know that he was confirmed while in seventh grade at Sacred Heart of Mary, that would have been in 1969, you can do the math after that, by Cardinal Sheehan. And he's going to speak about one of the three great mysteries of the church, or at least my three great mysteries. I've always thought there were three things I really wanted to know about church. One was, what really happens in the conclave when they elect the pope? Two is, what did the Blessed Mother really say at Lourdes? And the third one is, what is confirmation supposed to be about? And so that's the third great mystery for me, and Bishop Rozanski is going to present on that today. Please welcome the Eastern Vicar, Bishop Nick Rozanski.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark. The answer to those questions are paper, scissors, rock. You figure out the rest of it. Good morning. It's a joy to be here with you today and to see so many of you here, as Mark said earlier. Indeed, I think it's safe to say that all of us in this room have a stake in the sacrament of confirmation. Whether we are youth ministers, religious education directors, priests, deacons, bishops, women and men, religious, we realize the importance of confirmation's influence on our young people and their continued involvement and formation within our church. Yet we have so many mixed signals about this sacrament. I've heard it called the Pluto of the seven sacraments. Well, there we go. Thank you, Scott. Last summer, Pluto was reclassified and downgraded from its planet status. The rationale was that Pluto is part of an asteroid belt smaller than our own moon and crosses Neptune's orbit, so it should be disqualified as a planet. Sometimes I think confirmation seems to be in the same state of flux. Are we confused by confirmation's orbital relationship with the six other sacraments? Is it the mini-me of baptism? Or is it analogous to the bar of bat mitzvah in Judaism? Does the placement of confirmation in the adolescent years confuse this sacrament with a sense of graduation? And I think it's very appropriate that we are here today in such great numbers as parish ministers, as Christian educators, to reflect on our experiences with confirmation and share our insights for the direction of allowing the fullness of grace to come forward in our young people as we celebrate this sacrament. Our own perplexity with confirmation certainly begins in biblical times. We know that the great event of Pentecost was the founding event of our early church and a transforming effect on the 11 and the rest of the disciples of Jesus. While we, in a way, can trace the origins of the six other sacraments to Jesus himself and his public ministry, it's a bit more difficult to directly place confirmation consciously in Jesus' public ministry. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus does tell the apostles that if he does not leave them, then the Holy Spirit cannot come to them. One can argue that this does not directly establish the sacrament, but rather promises the Spirit to the apostles and to the church. In our Easter readings, the two sacraments that take precedence are baptism and Eucharist. I point to the Emmaus Gospel and to the account of the third resurrection appearance of Jesus to his disciples on the Sea of Galilee to illustrate my point. Later on, great theologians of the church, such as St. Bonaventure and St. Thomas Aquinas, speculated on the origins of confirmation, attributing it to the Holy Spirit through the work of the apostles. And they even debated whether the sacrament was not formally established in the church until the Council of Meaux in the year 845. I'm sure all of you know well of the Council of Meaux. If St. Thomas and Bonaventure had varied speculations about the origins of confirmation, I wonder how we're going to settle all these questions here in one day. When I was a student of theology at Catholic University, I began to think that all of our blessings and curses as a church originated with the conversion of Constantine to Christianity in 312 AD. In the early church, the community gathered around the bishop who celebrated the sacraments with his fellow Christians. When the communities grew to such large numbers after Constantine's conversion, it was no longer possible for the bishop to celebrate Eucharist for all the Christians in his area, nor was it possible for him to baptize all of them. However, while the presbyters could baptize, they were not allowed to sign the neophytes on the forehead with chrism. This was reserved for the bishop. In a sense, then, we start to see that break between baptism and confirmation take place. In the Eastern Orthodox churches, the three sacraments of initiation, baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation, are given all at once, even to infants. In our own country, we know that the age of confirmation has been established in some dioceses to the age of reason and given to them at the reception of First Communion. Some have argued confirmation should be moved back into its place with baptism or be conferred at the age of reason. I've been told by a pastor that he would like to see the age of confirmation moved to 21 years of age and beyond. Imagine what that preparation program would be like. Or maybe the age of reason would come in there. Clearly, even the discussion of age appropriateness for confirmation runs the gamut for us. While there is some range of ages for confirmation here in our own archdiocese, I think it would be safe to say that most of our young people are confirmed at between the ages of 13 and 17. These ages, as we know, pose challenges for us. Some years ago, when I was pastor in South Baltimore, we had awful problems with pigeons in the steeple at St. Mary's Star of the Sea. And I realized that we had to tackle those problems. After Mass one Sunday, when I announced that we had a plan to remedy the situation, one of our catechists for confirmation came to me and said that he could solve the pigeon problem just like that. Naively and innocently, I asked, how? Confirm them, he said. Needless to say, while I found his answer humorous on the surface, I do think that he identified the frustrations of all of us entrusted with the continuing Christian education and formation of our young people. However, despite all the obstacles, I do think that we are on the right track by linking the sacrament of confirmation to Christian service. When I read many letters of our candidates, and I'm sure that Bishops Madden and Mullooly would concur with me, I am greatly encouraged when they speak of the first time they serve at places like Sarah's House in Anne Arundel County, or Our Daily Bread in downtown Baltimore, or other places of service in their own parishes to feed the hungry and to experience what it is like to be homeless from those who come there. For many of them, it is an eye-opening experience merely to realize that there are people who do not have enough food are to live in a place while they are living in a comfortable home with food and material goods. It's also important to note the positive effect that the retreat experience is for our young people. Many of them speak of the retreat as the first time that they have really had an opportunity to concentrate on prayer, to read scripture, and to discuss what their faith means to them. I hope that you feel affirmed as religious educators, youth ministers, and leaders of confirmation programs in your parishes as you witness the candidates experience these integral aspects of the confirmation preparation. It is so important in our day to link confirmation with concretely living out our commitment to the Lord Jesus. I also find that it is imperative that we provide opportunities for service within the parish for the newly confirmed. Some parishes include those opportunities for service as part of the preparation process. It makes sense that if we invite the newly confirmed to become active members of the parish, that we provide the means whereby they can do so. When a candidate includes in a letter that he or she realizes that confirmation is not the end of the journey, but an important step in their faith life, I believe that it is a joy for all of us to see the realization that takes place. As committed Catholics, we do not have the luxury of astronomers who can discuss the status of the planet Pluto for years on end. We are here today because we are concerned about the impact confirmation should have on our young people and the ways in which we can serve them to bring the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit to our parishes. This past Saturday, I attended a prayer service and part of a social justice ministry workshop that was entitled Inform, Inspire, and Invite. It occurred to me that this is what we seek to do in inviting our young people to the fullness of life in Jesus by taking their rightful places in our church. May our time together here this day be nourishing for us and give us the grace to be the instruments of the Holy Spirit who make that difference in the lives of those young people who seek the fullness of initiation into our Christian community. Thank you very much.